Just continue for a moment. The last point about the covenant with Noah was that God said to him, life is precious and murderers are to forfeit their own life through the death penalty. Very interesting that God should include that there, but it's part of the sense that you have throughout the whole Bible that life is precious. God values life. You know that people blame God so easily, but remember that the things that have gone wrong with the world are because of sin, human sin. And, so many things have gone wrong, but God values life. Life is precious. Your life is precious. And wherever the gospel goes, life becomes more and more precious. And thank God for this sense that the gospel can impact societies. And we have this thing we call now, recently, people call it transformation. And, just recently, it's interesting that in the Olympics in Beijing, in October, there was the handicapped Olympics. Handicapped people. And I'm not going to particularly mention the nations that did so well, but it's interesting that the nations where life is valued through because of the gospel, those nations were winning more gold medals. But it's because, you know, handicapped people are precious. And there's lots of lovely stories about how people have reached out and cared for people. That's the preciousness of life. In societies which are competitive only, that's the human race is competitive, pushes down, ignores the weak. But the gospel values life. It's very interesting in the rise of humanism and humanist philosophy, the death penalty was abolished and abortion was allowed. Virtually in the same year. And you have this sense of the decreasing sense, paradoxical. It's really God who gives us a sense of the value of human life. And then that's the covenant with Noah. Now we turn to the covenant with Abraham. Now this is a huge subject, and I think probably what we'll do is we will do a whole MBI module on Abraham one day, I hope. Really, we should and could talk about Abraham for probably about 10 sessions. When you look at God's dealing with the human race as it's outlined in the Bible, you have the first 11 chapters of the Bible. They're about the creation, about the fall, about the flood, about Babel, about these huge events. And then in chapter 12 of Genesis, you come right down to one man and his family. And from chapter 12 of Genesis, Abraham dies in chapter 26, I think. You've got the life of this man. And then you've got his children's life, Isaac. And then Jacob. And God is a personal God. He's the God of the whole world in that sense. He created everything. But he's God who is interested in a covenant with you. In one way, he approaches you. And this is why the way the Bible explains it. Jesus, in that parable we opened with, he calls himself the bridegroom. The Bible describes God as a young man in love. That's how, one way we are to see him. He loves us and he's wooing the human race. Not as a blanket sort of, talking to us in a crowd. He's talking to us individually. The wonderful thing about the covenant with Abraham is that God said to Abraham, if you believe me, everybody in the whole world will be blessed through you. Isn't that wonderful? And I know that when one human being believes God, the ripples of that wonderful relationship affect a lot of people. Now, no man is an island, and we don't know how much we affect in our short lifespan, but the truth is, when you live for God, what you do in this life echoes through coming generations and echoes through eternity. It's a marvelous truth. Abraham blessed the whole world. Now, I don't know the full story of what's going to happen, but I know that there's some element of that in every one of our lives. When we believe God, when we walk with God, it affects others and generations to come. And that's why when you look at this is how God approaches us. Even in the new covenant, although Jesus came to give the new covenant to the world, he actually gave it to the woman of Samaria. He gave it to Zacchaeus. Who were they? Well, Zacchaeus was a cheat. The woman of Samaria had been divorced 5 times. You know, these were people who, religiously speaking, were pariahs. They were lepers. They were failures. Nobody wanted to talk to them. But Jesus comes to them and says, I've got this covenant proposal. And he said to the woman of Samaria, he said, woman, he said, believe me. And she did. And thereby she entered into covenant relationship. She became, in a way, a daughter of Abraham. Everybody who believes God is a son or daughter of Abraham. And this covenant with Abraham really spans the Bible, because although Abraham is not new covenant in the sense that he didn't receive the power of the blood, Abraham is God's declaration of how he deals with the human race as a whole. And we know that the cross has effects before it happened and after it happened. Now, there are some aspects of the cross which Abraham didn't experience. The Bible tells us that clearly in Hebrews, that he saw the promises and embraced them and lived for them, even though he didn't receive them. That's Hebrews chapter 11. But there are other blessings that he did receive. For example, he had forgiveness of sins. Now, I'll tell that story again. I was telling you, we told this story in Tungling this week. We're talking about Abraham in Romans. But I've got a friend, he has 7 children, and we talked in Tungling about this woman in Russia who had 65 children, one woman. It's in the Guinness Book of Records, 65 children. So if you've got a family of 2 or 3, well, it's a good beginning, but carry on, you know. Got a long way to go. But she never had a single child at one time. She always had twins or triplets or quadruplets, and so she had about 25 pregnancies. Only had 25 pregnancies. She didn't have only 25, so... And she was a Russian, and I think she probably started not just 2 football teams, but 6, isn't it? 6 football teams, and probably a school, actually, a primary and secondary school. But anyway, there we go. But when she went to the swimming pool with her children, and she lined them all up, and she stood in the middle, and there was the turnstile, or going on the MRT. They're all lining up. She shouted ahead, let them through. I'm coming. And she said, I've got the money here. Just let them through. And so they'd all start going through. She'd come to the middle, she'd pay, and then